next few minutes to just transform and change our lives. I pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. If you have your Bible, open it up to Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. I want to read to you a few verses out of this. It'll be up on the screen if you do not have it. But I want to encourage you today to just open up the way you think and the way you perceive things. I was at a game this week, a particular basketball game, and the team that I was rooting for, they were up against a pretty tough opponent. And I could see as the game proceeded what was taking place. They were not only being outplayed a little bit, but they were being out-challenged in their thinking. I used to tell my son Ben was a championship wrestler when he was in high school. I wish he'd put out all his trophies sometimes of what he had, but it would never fail that when he would begin to go into a match that he would begin to get nervous. And, you know, he'd begin to, you know, pace up and down a little bit, and your mind would begin to tell you, you know, they're bigger than me, they're stronger. And I remember some of these kids. Holly had one of the greatest, and they still do to this day, the wrestling teams. They were tough. These guys over in Holly, I mean, when the cows are eating, they're eating with them. I mean, they're growing big kids over there. And here comes my son, Ben. He's a big, strap and strong guy. When he was in school, he was probably, I don't know, maybe 40 pounds lighter, strong in areas where his muscles that he got working on the farm that many of those kids didn't have. And I always pull him along. I'd pull him to the side before it because Holly would go out there one after the other. They'd pin these kids. I mean, they would pin them. And that psychological mental stress that would come upon him at that moment would just so have an effect on what he was able to do. And I used to pull him aside. And I said, Ben, you need to start seeing yourselves pinning your opponent right now. And he didn't like that at first when I began it. But I said, listen to me. You see yourself as winning. You see yourself up on top of him. And I'll never forget one of the times he went out there. I still get choked up at it. All the kids were getting pinned. And when my little blonde-haired boy went out there that I prayed for, and he went out there, and this guy was, you know, he was like, I mean, he was a big dude. And there's my son, Ben. And he was big, but he had more gut and more tenacity than the other kid. He got a hold of that kid. He twisted him up like a pretzel. Bam. My son Ben pinned him. It was the only pin on that team. And I'm telling you what, that from that point on, my son listened when I would tell him, you see yourself winning before you will ever win at life. You must see yourself as being free of fear before fear will ever leave. I'm not talking about the good kind of fear. I'm not talking about the fear that, you know, if you're my grandkids, they know if they come home too late at night, they've got fear that their dads are going to be talking to them. That is a good fear, amen? That's not the kind of fear I'm talking about, though. I'm talking about the fear that paralyzes you. I'm talking about the fear that the enemy would try to place into your life that would keep you from experiencing some of the greatest things that God has already predestined for you to have. I'm talking about the fear that would keep a single person single for the rest of their lives because of some troubles or some heartaches that they've gone through in a relationship. When God says, I've got something and someone for you. I wanted to pray for that for somebody today too, because I know you're here and I know I'm talking to you this morning that God has a future for you. Your life is not wrapped up in the mistake that you went through, but it's wrapped up in the victory that God has in front of you today. Come on today. You got to begin to see that. You got to begin to see you overcoming that fear. You've got to begin to see yourself being on the winner's side. You got to begin to see yourself as victorious. You got to see yourself stronger, smarter, greater. You got to see yourself succeeding before you ever will. Because fear will come into your life and it'll keep you and it'll hold you in this chokehold and it will not let you go. It'll try to dominate your life. It'll try to define you and make you into something that God has never created you to be. God has created you to be above and not beneath. Come on today. God did not send his son Jesus into the world and die a brutal death so that you would have to live in defeat. Now, does that mean that we won't go through heartache? No. Does that mean that we won't lose once in a while? Absolutely not. Sometimes losing helps you to experience a greater joy of winning when you do win. I'm not talking about that, but what I am talking about is you being nebulized by fear that holds you back and holds you down from ever experiencing the great things that God has for you today. I'm so excited about our own Paulie Lemondola going to get on a plane and go to Argentina tomorrow. It incidentally, last Sunday, the offering that we received and we sent it on Monday was $1,500 to go for Bibles and the churches that they're going to go. That money has already been sent. It's already gone before. I just want to say a big thank you to everybody. But to step out and to do something great, to tackle those fears and not let that have the effect on you that the enemy would try to put on you. Jesus said in Matthew 6, he said, in verse 25, I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you're going to eat or drink, or about your body, what you'll wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they are? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to their life? And why do you worry about your clothes? Come on, ladies. Why? See how some of you guys are going to be happy with me today. See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry saying, what are we going to eat? Or what are we going to drink? Or what are we going to wear? Pagans run after these things. Your heavenly Father knows what you need. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. We all are aware that fear produces great anxiety. I want to just stop here. I just reminded, this week, I had an experience that is just so devastating that I was asked to go to the hospital to be with a young lady. Many know this person that was sick with the flu, and in 24 hours, she died. And it was just so heart-wrenching. I got home that night, and I made a call. And so the upstairs and next door, we brought in extra help this week to shampoo every bit of carpet, to wash the walls, the doors, the doorknobs, everything disinfected, all upstairs and all next door. I want to tell you that. We did that because we love you, we love your families, we love your children, and we don't want anybody getting sick on our watch, okay? Are you thankful for that? Fear has a way of producing anxiety in us. It creates an apprehension that really leads to chaos, and it impacts not only our lives, but the lives of people that are around us. It stifles our thoughts, our ability to dream, and our actions. It will indefinitely lead us down a road of failure, lost opportunities, an erosion of confidence, and this downward spiral begins. And fear kills more dreams than failure ever will. Hear that. Fear kills more dreams than failure ever will. So I'm going to expose fear this morning, just a moment, for what it is, and then I'm going to just give you some things for you to begin to engage in to lead you out of that. Number one, fear, it paralyzes dreams. If left unchecked in your life, it will paralyze you and keep you, stop you from doing the things that God has placed in your heart to do. And God will always call you and I to do something bigger than what we are able to do in our own strength. And if we allow fear to stop us, it will keep us from engaging and encountering some of the greatest experiences that we could ever have in our lives. You have to remember that you cannot let fear stop you from accomplishing what God has called you to do. It will paralyze your dreams. Fear also brings unhappiness. Listen to this now. You will always be unhappy if you're living your life afraid. Deep down inside, you know you're not doing the things that God has ultimately placed in your heart. For some that are here today, you battle with an addiction to unhappiness. Hear this now. That may have stemmed from a deep-rooted insecurity or lack of self-esteem that has caused you to feel undeserving of having any kind of happiness. I know that was a big mouthful there. Let me break it up. When I was studying on this, I was thinking about my own life as a child, that my father never complimented me. He never said that he was proud of me. He never told me that I was going to be great or I was going to do. He never said that. He never hugged me, never once told me that he loved me, never, ever once. And through my life of growing up, I found myself so captivated with fear that I was afraid to go into a dark room alone. I was afraid to go into my bedroom at night alone. I was afraid for my mother to turn off the light. I would ask her, I was reminded of this week, I would ask my mother to stay in my room until I fell asleep because I was so afraid of the dark. I think it's probably stemmed from part of my upbringing, that what my father had infused into my heart and into my life as just a young child. And that's why today, that if you meet me once or maybe twice, I'm going to tell you that I love you. I'm going to hug you because I've never met anyone too rough or nasty or hurt or broken that I'm not going to hug and say, I love you. You can be the burliest, strappingest guy in here. I'm still going to get my arms around you and give you a hug and look you right in the eye and say, I love you. But this addiction to unhappiness can be rooted in some of that. That's why, parents, it's so important for you as moms and dads to tell your kids positive and reinforce them and tell them how much you love them. And even if they make a mistake, tell them that wasn't right and the reason that it wasn't right. And tell them why you don't want them doing that is because you love them and you believe in them and you want to see them grow and be what God has called them to be. Amen. You ought to clap on that. Just don't mess around on it. Addicted to unhappiness. Decisions or experiences in the past have caused you to be consumed by guilt or regret that seems impossible for you to overcome. And so then you begin to punish yourself and those around you as well. And then, listen to this, there is a theory that people love negative feelings. In fact, a study was done why people enjoy horror movies. And it concluded that viewers that watch them perpetually are happy to be unhappy. I knew somebody years ago. I could not believe this person. They would spend one night of their life a week watching horror movies that would scare the pants right off of them. And their life was one of unhappy. I could tell you a funny story right now, but I'm not going to. But this leads, because of this, it leads to destructive habits in people's lives. They're addicted to unhappiness because of fear controlling their lives, and then they continually perpetuating and feeding that unhappiness with other things that bring fear into their life. And then because of that, they try to numb the pain by turning to things like drugs and alcohol for an artificial relief. Do you see the web that the enemy wants to bring you and I into? And then we know that fear will limit our relationship with God. It will be challenged at best if you allow fear to stay intact in your life. In 2 Timothy 1:7, Paul told Timothy that God has not given you the spirit of fear. He is not the author of any kind of fear in your life. But God has given you the spirit of power. He's given you love, and he's given you a sound mind today. And I want to encourage you today, don't settle for mediocrity. Shake up your soul by breaking out of the status quo in your life and pursue God with a passion like you have never done before each and every day of your life. And when you do that, God will give you things. He'll open up opportunities because he never intended you to be complacent in your walk with him. You need to look forward to new adventures that he has for you every single day. You need to invite him to transform you into the person that God knows you can be. I'm telling you, I'm looking at a group of winners here today. I'm looking at people with a destiny and a calling on their lives. If you knew the totality of what God has called you to, you would not be able to sit in your seat today. He has called you to greatness. He has called you to do something incredible. You shall not let fear overcome you any longer. And you have to make God a top priority in your life and expect him to constantly do something extraordinary through your life. I wonder if you get up every day and that you live a life of expectancy, or do you live a life of fear? And the best thing that you can do for your relationship with God and for those that you love is to kick fear out of your life. Tell it no more. Sometimes you gotta do whatever you gotta do. You gotta tackle that sucker, push him out. When you feel like you're afraid and you can't do it, you gotta get up, stand up to it, face it, and say, yes, I am going to do it. I am going to do it. The Lord, he is on my side. Psalm 118, verse 6. I will not fear what man can do to me. I'll not let fear control my life. So what can we do? What are some new thoughts that we can tackle fear with today? Number one, you got to stop focusing on your fear or fears. You got to stop allowing your fears to define you and to hold you into that little small image that they want to. God is speaking to the Israelites, and he's speaking to you and I in Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10. He said, do not fear. He said, I am with you. And I'm telling you something, ladies and gentlemen, today, my brothers and sisters, when you are convinced that God is with you, fear will not have any room in your life. He said, do not fear, I am with you. Do not be dismayed, I'm your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you. You need to underline this in your Bible if you got it. You need to underline it. You need to highlight it on your iPad, your iPhone, your Android, whatever it is that you got. You need to underline it, circle it, do it. He said, I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. All who rage against you, listen to this. For those of you who let somebody else in your life try to define you, what somebody else says about you or said about you, you look on social media and you get all wrapped up in what somebody's not doing or what somebody's doing. Listen to what God speaks to Isaiah. He says, those who rage against you, they'll surely be ashamed and disgraced. Those who oppose you will be as nothing and they will perish. Those, though you search for your enemies, you're not going to find them. Why? Those who wage war against you will be as nothing at all. Why? He says, for I am the Lord your God who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. You worrying about what somebody else thinks or says? Just know that God's got your hand and he's walking with you. You're afraid to walk into some place because of what somebody may say or thinking about you? Just know that God has got you. He's got you by the hand and he's walking with you. You don't have to fear. You don't have to be dismayed. He is with you. You're worrying about giving up a habit, some addiction. You don't know whether you can do it or not. Just know God's got your hand. He's walking with you in the darkest moments of your life. He says you can do this. You got this. You're afraid of letting go and embracing what God has ahead for you, whether that's a relationship, whether that's something else in your life, know that he has got your hand and he is with you. I'm preaching myself up at being here happy this morning. Paul says to the Romans in Romans 8:31, what shall we say to these things? That if God be for us, who can be against us? He goes on in verse 32, who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all? How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? That's to you. Look at your neighbor and say, you are elected. Come on, go ahead and say that. It is God who justifies. Who is he who is? Who it is that condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is risen. Who is even at the right hand of God who makes intercession for us all? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation? Nope. Distress? Nope. Persecution? Nope. Famine? Nope. Nakedness? No. Peril? Sword? Yeah. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And I am persuaded that neither life nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor what's coming shall be able, height or depth or any other created thing shall separate me from that hand that's holding me. The love of God that says you can go where you've been afraid to go. You can walk into that dark room now. You can do what you never thought you could because he is with you. He is for you. He is strengthening you today. Come on, if you're going to clap for Jesus, you need to clap like he's a winner. You gotta quit focusing on your fear and start focusing on the one who has conquered fear. Number two, you got to believe in something bigger than yourself. You got to have a vision beyond just you right here and right now. You got to begin to think better and think bigger. And can I tell you, you got to believe in someone bigger than you. His name is Jesus today. And if you haven't made him first place in your heart, you need to ask him to come into your life, forgive you of your sin, and make him the Lord and the master of who you are. Jesus said, if you believe, all things are possible to him that believes. Come on, believe God for something new in your life this year. Some of you ought to make plans right now to do something great. Not just for you, but do something great for the Lord. Some of you need to make a plan. Maybe it is going on a missions trip. Maybe you need to make a plan. Maybe it is going to the gym for the first time. Maybe you've been struggling about going to the gym and you're coming up with all excuses. I'm too old. I'm too fat. I'm too weak and all that. Listen, I've already gone through all those excuses. None of them will keep you from doing what God wants you to do for your one and only body that he has given to you. I said that with all those donuts out there. I feel a little convicted right now. Full disclosure, I ate one donut hole, and Todd Crosser was there to tell me there's 60 calories. Somebody do something with that guy. Do something great in your life this year. Believe God for something great. Number three, listen, I'm just encouraging you to move into this dimension, to push this fear out of your life. You can do what you only dreamed of when he is with you and he is in you. You only dreamed. What are you dreaming for this year? What do you believe in God for this year? What have you put before the Lord? Say, God, if possible, I'd love to do this. So if I told you the dreams that I have, you would shake your head. Joshua 1:9 says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Don't be dismayed, for the Lord your God, he is with you wherever you go. There it is again. He's holding your hand. He's walking with you. He's helping you. He's strengthening you. And then, listen, I want to close. I want to end on this one. Listen, if you can't do this on your own, you got to get somebody that will walk with you when you're afraid. You need a friend. You need somebody in your life that'll stick with you and stay with you when you say things like, I can't do this. Will you help me? You got to have sometimes Jesus holding one hand and then you got to have somebody else take hold of the other hand and say, come on, you got this. You can do this. The Bible says in Proverbs 17:17, a friend loves at all times and a brother is born for adversities, tough times. There's so many little analogies that I could give you through this to help you think. You got to get around the right people that will inspire you and help you move past your fears. You got to be around the right posse that will say, when everything else in your life says, I can't do this, you got to get around the right people to say, yes, you can, and yes, you will. I said, yes, you can, and yes, you will. Somebody tweet that. Yes, you can, and yes, you will. Come on, hashtag. Yes, you can, and yes, you will. Come on, somebody, hashtag that. Yes, you can, and yeah, if the guys were fast enough up in the sound booth, they'd already have hashtag, yes, you can, and yes, you will. Come on, say it with me. Yes, you can, and yes, you will. You got this. You can do this. I need a friend that will tell me that I can do it. Proverbs 27:6, faithful are the wounds of a friend. I don't like it sometimes when my friends begin to tell me and get up in my grill and say, you can do this. I won't, you know, my boys, they're all bigger than me now. They think they are, but in my mind, I'm still bigger than them. But they are. They're bigger. When I say things to them and my boys, they get around me. Ben, I don't know who's worse. I really don't know. They're all three. They're bad. They treat their dad terrible. Please pray for me, will you? They tell me things like, Dad, you got to do this. You got to start thinking this way. You got to go here. They're using my own sermons on me. How many of you believe that's just not wrong? They wound me sometimes. But faithful are people that will tell you, friends, don't come up to me. I don't know who you are and say, well, I just want to tell you. You said faithful wounds are friends. You need to do this. And you're not my friend if I just met you a time or two. So keep your opinion to yourself. But to the people, hashtag that too. Mind your business. But to my friends, when they tell me things that I need to hear, they serve it in a way that I can take it. But sometimes it's painful. But we need that in our lives. Don't we need that? I want you to close your head and bow your heart with me this morning. Lord's got great for you. He's got something good that's going to happen in your life. I feel it with everything in me. I sense him doing something even now while I'm speaking. I've felt it all morning that this could be a moment in somebody's life. He wants to deliver you and set you free from the things that will hold you back and hold you down. Give you a new future and give you hope. Help you get beyond saying, I can't do that. That'll never happen for me. If I'm just talking to one person today, it's been worth it. I wonder who that is today. I want some of the prayer people to come down. Just stand down in the front here. So I'm going to open up this altar here for prayer in just a moment. I'm going to pray for some of you today. The Lord's going to do something great in your life. He's going to help you in a powerful way. Some of you just need to make a motion today. And by you moving in a positive direction, you're saying, fear, no more. Not going to hold me back, no more. I'm going to do what I got to do. I hear the Lord saying in my heart that some of you, you got to make a tough decision. You've lived in that little, the only word that comes to me, that just that little hole long enough. It's time for you to come out of that. It's time for you to dream. It's time for you to believe big again. It's time for you to have a vision for your future. It's time for you to let go of the hurt. It's time for you to let go of what somebody did or didn't do for you. Time to let that go. In fact, even while I'm speaking, I'm going to close in prayer. Even while I'm talking, if that's you, I just want you to get up out of your seat. If you're serious about this today, we've had a great time this morning. We've clapped. We've shouted. We've heard the word of God. But now, It's time for you to make the move. Yes, you can. And yes, you will. Yes, you can. And yes, you will. Father, some of you need to give your life to Christ today. You've never done that. You need to ask Him to come and live inside of your life. You need to come and ask Him to forgive you. Just keep on coming while I'm talking. Some are already coming. Some of you, the Lord's pushing on your heart. You don't worry about what somebody else may say near you. Fear. You move out. Some of you, the Lord's, He's going to do something great in because you're going to give your life to Him today. When you come down, if that's you, you tell one of these folks, I want to give my life to Jesus today. And they're going to pray for you, believe the Lord with you, and agree with you today. Some of you have been wrapped up, allowing what others have said or haven't said, honey, come on down here and help. Prayer. You've allowed what somebody else has said about you or tried to define you. Let it go. Embrace what He has for you today. I'm going to pray. You come. Father, I thank You for the power of the gospel of Jesus today that sets men and women free. I pray, Lord, that this will be a day where fear will not have any hold on Your people. That they will be free. They will begin to live for You. Lord, through the good, the bad, the difficult, I pray, God, for grace. I pray for strength. And I pray for Your peace to be upon every person here. And I ask it in the mighty name of Jesus. Come on, and everybody said amen. Amen. I love you. You need prayer. I want you to come down here this morning. Let God help you. Let Him transform your life. This is your moment. This is your time. Go in His grace today. I love you. Stop out in the back.